Blog Talk Radio.
Warning, warning.
Attention all cupcakes, lollipops, and landlubbers. This is your captain speaking. The battle for truth and justice is before us. Batten down the hatches and prepare to blast off into Deep Space Nine.
Warning, warning.
For this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. We do not concern ourselves with the cost. This is our freedom, damn it. Look, freedom ain't cheap, I'll give you that. But we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right. You want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. Now, remember, if you do want to speak tonight, we do have a guest. If you didn't want to speak tonight, make sure you press the number one. It gives me a little icon, tells me that you want to talk. Otherwise, it tells me that you want to listen. And listening's okay. Listening is just fine. All right, tonight, our very special guest, Lydia Hubbell. Now, Lydia's going to be on board tonight, and I'm very interested to find out more about this because I've been bitching about this for a long time. Anybody who's ever listened to this show, you know you've heard me complain about it. She's going to be on board tonight to discuss not only her case, but how children who are put in, and I got to call it the family court system, whether they're removed from their home for erroneous reasons or whether there's a divorce, doesn't matter. They're in the family court system. Well, they need a voice to speak out, and I have been privileged to have a couple people who have actually children that have been able to come on the show that their mother's allowed. And I don't blame them why a lot of them don't. But the point is, we've got to hear from the children because they're the ones suffering the most. They're the ones feeling the brunt of all of this. So they've got to be able to speak. They need a voice. Somebody's got to give them a voice. But I do know that it's very difficult for the parents to allow their children because there's a lot of, yes, there's a lot of things that can, well, there's reasons. Let's just put it that way. But it shouldn't be. Children are people too. Sorry. I hate to admit it. But they're people too. They need a voice. Just like you, just like anybody else. Everybody needs a voice. Well, Lydia also has a blog. It's aptly named Children Campaigning for Liberty and Justice in America. Now, if you want to read more about it, you want to find out more about it, I'm going to try to put it in the chat room here. But it's pretty easy to remember. If you got a pen, well, get a pen and write it down. And you'll never forget it. I'm trying to post this in the chat room here, and it won't let me. But anyway, it's www.ccclja.org, not .com, but .org. I don't know why this thing will not let me do this in the chat room. Let me try this. All right, I got to manually do it. All right, www. I hate that. I like to copy and paste. I don't like to manually type things in. But that's the way this is. www.ccclja.org dot capital letters CC, that's Charlie LJA. That's Lima Juliet Alpha dot org, not dot com. You put in dot com, you'll never get anywhere with it. It's dot org. That always screws me up. I think everything is dot com, but it's not. All right, now if you do have a story tonight that you'd like to talk about as well and ask Lydia a question, again, the number 646-716-7978, and make sure you press the number 1. Okay, without further ado, let's give a very big nautical welcome to our good friend, first time aboard this program, Lydia Hubbell. Lydia, my good friend, welcome aboard. I'm so glad to have you aboard. I really am. I want
to
find out more.
Thank you so much. Oh, I'm so glad I have this opportunity to speak out for my little girl and for all the children who are affected by this. And in your little promo, you mentioned the children in the system. But my big point I'm trying to make is that it's not just the children in the system who are affected. It's not just the children who are in these nasty custody battles where one parent is trying to just alienate the child or punish the other parent. It's not just in the foster care system that who are in there that shouldn't be. The children who are affected they're not just in the system, but my little girl's best friend, Shania. She's the one. This is a group project between Shania and I. She is outraged that she has been cut off from her best friend for 2 years. They've been best friends since they were 2 years old. And
now, how far away are they, though? I mean, they can't have any communication. 20
nope.
miles. She can't write to her. She can't talk to her on the phone. No.
Well, she has written to her, and her father confiscated the letter.
Now, why is that?
Because he can. And my
so
daughter,
he wants to totally take her away from anything that she had and basically like throw you, well, like when I went into the military, they bring you all the way down, they tear you down, nothing, and then they build you up the way that they want you. That's narcissism. Am I wrong?
I'm not qualified to do a mental health diagnosis on him. He definitely has mental health issues. And of course his lawyer does too, besides being in violation of her oath of office to support the Constitution. This is court ordered child abuse. But yeah, the only person who my daughter's dad, Laura, will let her have free access to is my oldest daughter who I had with my ex-husband. I've got a 20-year-old, daughter with my ex-husband, Delara's dad. I never was married to Delara's dad. So I've got a 20-year-old. I successfully co-parented with my ex-husband for like 15 years. Almost the whole, my kids were little when we got divorced. So I've got a 20-year-old daughter who's fixing to start her third year at Vanderbilt University. And I've got a son who is 18 and he just graduated from the academic magnet school here in Nashville, Tennessee called Hume Fogg. It's one of the top schools in the country, and he's fixing to go to the University of Minnesota to start working on to be a pharmacist. So he's going leaving this week. So I am a good mother. I have a proven track record of raising children, and my whole background is working with children. Before I got married, before I had children of my own, I worked in center-based child care. I directed a daycare center. I spent 7 years as a nanny working for one family. If I had problems interacting appropriately with children, do you think they would have kept me on for 7 years?
Right.
And this was like 25 years ago, and they paid me $300 a week, and I got all these perks, and they considered me part of the family. And so I am a good mother. I have no history of drugs, and no history of ever trying to come between my daughter and her father in any way. And so there's no drugs, no alcohol. I just tell people I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs. I don't even have much of a social life. I go to church 3 times a week. I've been a member at Woodland Hills Church of Christ for 17 years. And, yeah, I did have a child out of wedlock. That was kind of bad. I think it was a very humbling experience.
That's not a crime.
It's not a crime.
It is not a crime. And nor does it make you anti-God if you're religious, and it doesn't make you anti-religious. I'm sorry, but it happens.
I want to confess it as a sin that I have repented of, and my daughter is one of the greatest blessings I've ever had in my life.
That's the bottom line right there. What did you get out of it? Okay, you made a mistake, but it's serendipity. Look at the beautiful thing that you got out of this mistake. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
and what
there's nothing
I hope,
to be ashamed
what I,
right.
well, it's, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven for my sin, and we're moving forward and being positive. And it's not just, not just is my daughter a blessing to me, but as I've been through this, and I tell you, these court cases, they are designed to make you mentally ill. And,
right.
I mean, that's the whole point, is let's see how much we can oppress this person and break them down to where they're not even capable of parenting. Even if, they were able to get them back, let's leave them an emotional wreck. Let's find this, devastate them financially and mentally.
Well,
that's how they win.
Now, let me ask you something.
Not.
Because in a lot of cases, when you've got one side or the other, whether it's the father or whether it's the mother, and when one side is getting attacked, the other side generally has their family either has a lot of money or has a lot of pull in society, meaning they know, certain people, require certain favors. Is that what's going on here in your case?
Yes.
How did your husband have so much
control
over you after your track record?
I never was married to him. So he's like, he actually hates it when people call me my husband.
But I mean, 99.9% of the cases when there is, you've got a case where a man and a woman, they're not married, they have a child, the child will go to the mother unless the mother is proved absolutely, a whack job. So, it's very, very small number. What I'm trying to get at is what did he use? What kind of weapons did he use to, and why is he doing this? Where's the vindictiveness coming from?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to address a comment you made about, parent. That's a common misconception that mothers always get custody unless they're proven unfit or they're in jail or something. In Tennessee, the law says, the law says it's best for the children to have maximum involvement of both parents.
I misspoke. What I meant was it used to be. That's what it normally.
It used to be that way. It's turning.
It's not the same anymore. You're right.
It should be turning around. And I very strongly believe in equal rights for parents because the child has equal need for both parents. Every child that have a fit, loving mother and father, they get.
Right.
I said this in court in my first custody trial. And it's the same with me. With when you got two parents, they typically, if you're well matched, you complement each other. You've got different strengths, you got different weaknesses, and between the two parents, all the child's needs are adequately met. And that's how it was with my ex-husband. Even though we were divorced and raised the kids, in two different, we had two homes, but we were able to give the children everything they needed. And I never had any behavior problems. They did well in school. They did well socially.
My brother's the exact same way. And look, they're my nephews. They're brought up good. The mom and the dad, they're not married, but they still get along. They're amicable. The parents are the parents. They can go to either one. You can do this. It's not like it can't be done. I've seen it done, and my brother is still raising one kid. He's 18 years old, just graduated high school. So it can be done, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, CPS, they got to get involved, and they got to start assuming and thinking for other people. And it's just not the case. So I'm just complimenting what you're saying. And, I just want people to know that your story is not unlike millions of stories, millions of people out there. And it
exactly.
They've
That's
gotten
very, it's a sad but true
grown
fact.
Up just fine. The kids have grown up just fine, and everybody loves everybody. So you don't, you know.
Yeah,
so.
it can be done. And usually, you know, I always say that if you've got a custody battle, that when you get dragged through court and people will do anything to, you know, fighting over the kids, most of the time, I mean, sometimes there is a protective parent trying to protect the other child, but the overwhelming majority of the time, I believe, one of the parents are just, they've got mental and emotional problems.
But let's go back to what is his trigger? Why is he so vindictive here?
Let me tell you how this happened. It happened because he has money. That's the thing. He has money.
Well, how did I guess? I said that at the beginning. He had money.
Yeah, he said worked for 17 years as a computer programmer, a single man, worked as a computer programmer, saved his money up. So he's got a stash. And he's willing to do whatever he has to, it's just, he's got this emotional need. And when I heard from his lawyer, and nobody should have taken his case. You know, I mean, if you had an ethical lawyer who's following her code of ethics and working within the bounds of the law and who's supporting the Constitution, if you go into their office and say, I have a little girl who's 5.5 years old, I don't like her mother, and I don't want my daughter to either. Will you help me cut my little girl's mother 100% out of her life so I can have total control? Any ethical attorney would say, sorry, I can't help you with that.
Exactly.
That would be a violation of my oath of office and my professional responsibilities, and I can't do that. And if he had gone knocking on every door in Nashville and got the same answer from every lawyer, no, we can't do that. That's wrong. It is wrong.
Right.
Then he would have continued to do what he did for the first 5.5 years of my child's life, which is co-parent with me. We managed. He dumped me halfway through my pregnancy, and we never should have. The way I got pregnant in the first place was my ex-husband, who I was still co-parenting with my older kids with. We'd been divorced for 5 or 6 years, but we still did things as a family, and there wasn't a step family involved. There wasn't another one, so I was not emotionally divorced from my ex-husband, and I think we were both a lot happier living in two different homes. But 10 years ago, he decided to he fell in love with his one of his friend's sisters, and within weeks, this woman was taking my kids to Disney World, taking my daughter to get her hair done and her nails done, and my ex-husband was looking at engagement rings with my old daughter to give to this woman. And my whole life fell apart. And,
wow.
It was because I was not emotionally divorced, and I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I don't know how well you know Church of Christ, but we don't believe in divorce except in
right.
cases of adultery. And if you have to separate, like if you're in an abusive relationship and you have to separate, we believe, well, the Bible says either remain single or be reconciled. So that's what I believe was right. And so when he got this other woman, I consider that adultery, even though we weren't really married at that time, legally married. But I went crazy. And it's actually a pretty
lonely
experience for me.
You don't need a piece of paper. To say that you're married. The marriage is within, you know, your heart and her heart together. The piece of paper is just a piece of paper with the name on it. That's all it is.
Well,
I
was still, all those 5 or 6 years, I was still committed to him. I still consider myself
right,
married.
Right. But I mean, that would have been, that would have been kind of tough to accept. Your oldest daughter going out shopping for wedding rings for another woman, how you're able to be amicable with your ex-husband. I mean, that takes inner strength that you obviously have a lot more than I would. I'll be honest.
Well, at this, and I have a lot more than I had 10 or 15 years ago too, because I've worked on it. But I decided, I can't control my ex-husband's life. I'm going to have to just change, you know, I didn't know what to do. My whole life just, it's like the bottom fell out. And I just said, okay, well, I'm going to start dating. I mean, my ex-husband was my first and only boyfriend. You know, he was my boyfriend since I was 15. I married him when I was 20. And then here I was, what, 41? And he'd been the only person I'd ever really been in love with my whole life. And here he's marrying this other woman. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't want to be alone because I always want to be part of a couple. And my family's always been so important to me. And so I decided to start dating. And I went online, and I was very picky because I wanted some – I didn't want to be like the other woman or be like a stepmother figure or anything. So I was only looking for people who had never been married and didn't have kids. And, you know, when you're looking for somebody like 35 or 40 and they've never been married and don't have kids and – you know, and I really, in my heart of hearts, I was just wanting like a kind of a placekeeper, just somebody to keep me occupied. Because my ex-husband, I'm like, well, maybe this new wife will decide she doesn't like my ex-husband and she'll leave him, and then I could get my family back together. That's kind of what I was thinking. And so I just wanted somebody to hang out with. I wasn't looking to get pregnant or have sex or anything. I just wanted somebody to just hang out with and, you know, be kind of a keep me occupied and distracted while I was waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen with my ex-husband's new marriage. And then I met this Dolores dad, and I got pregnant 3 months after I met him, and he was perfect for me at that stage of my life. He was perfect because he didn't want to marry me, because I didn't want somebody to fall in love with me and then I wouldn't be available. You know, it would hurt my feelings to have to leave somebody who loved me and go back to my ex-husband, like my little fantasy world where I would get back with my ex-husband. But, yeah, he didn't want a long-term relationship with me, and I knew he had emotional problems. I believe with all my heart, he is a good man. He's extremely intelligent. He's very responsible. He's an exceptional provider. He just has some emotional problems. And when I heard from the lawyer, 3.5 years ago, I told the lawyer, I said, he doesn't need a lawyer. He needs a therapist. I had to go to therapy to deal with my emotional problems, and it helped because I didn't, you know, I don't want to control other people's lives and be mad because I can't control other people's lives. And I got therapy and worked on myself, but he didn't. And I had told my daughter, Delara's dad, that before he hired the lawyer. I've been trying to get him into therapy for years because we were stuck. We were stuck in this situation of sharing this child. And, you know, he's a good parent. I'm a good parent. My only complaint against him is him going through the court system. But I told my daughter, I said, she's mad at him too. And she told her counselor back, 2 years ago after the order of protection he got to cut me off out of her life for a year, she told her counselor that she was mad at him for keeping him from seeing her mom. But that's the only thing, you know, and I told her, I said, don't be mad at your dad. Be mad at the lawyers and the judges because they're lying and they're cheating to steal from you. The lawyer goes in there and lies to the judge and breaks all the rules, and then the judge breaks the law. So they're both, you know, the judge might not be lying, but the judge is cheating. The judge is not following the rules. She's not following the law. And the result is they're robbing my daughter of what she needs to develop normally and function in her environment. And that meets the definition of severe child abuse. And it's not, I don't blame my daughter's dad. I blame the system.
Right. Now, when was the last time, I mean, do you have any kind of contact with your daughter at all? Do you have any visitation, anything?
This started when my daughter was old enough to go to public school. I was homeschooling her.
How old is your daughter now? She's got to be what?
She'll be 9 in October. October 15, okay. She'll be 9 years old. And and her friend Shania is just turned 9. So I was like looking up, how old is my daughter? What were you saying?
Well, no, I just want to know what I mean – when was the last time you got to see your daughter?
Oh, okay,
and how often
yeah, the last time. Okay, here it goes. Okay, I saw her every day. When she was born, okay, my daughter's dad dumped me halfway through my pregnancy. This is kind of a timeline. He dumped me halfway through my pregnancy when I was kind of pushing him for commitment because I wanted to know my daughter was going to have a dad in her life. Even if he didn't like me, I wanted him to be there for my daughter. And he would be up and down. You know, it's like one day he'd say, you need to have an abortion, and the next day he would be thinking about what's a good name for the baby. And you know, because he did want a child. He did want a child, but not with me. He wanted – see, here's the thing, is before I got pregnant, and before I got pregnant, he had said that he wanted – he wanted to have a child. He knew he couldn't get married because of his emotional problems, and he said he wanted to have a baby with a surrogate, and his sister had agreed to raise it for him until he could take care of it himself. So when I got pregnant, it just kind of blew all my plans positive side, and I told Dolores' dad, I said, well, this is better than you know, you wanted a child, and this is even better than having a surrogate, because the child will develop better having both parents, having a mother and a father. And you don't, you know, when you have a child by a surrogate, that's almost like, you know, having a child whose mother dies in childbirth or something. You know, you're affected by that. And so I was trying to put a positive spin on it. But he dumped me when I was pregnant, halfway through my pregnancy, and I didn't see him or talk to him until the night my baby was born. And then he comes into the hospital acting like nothing had happened. He's like, oh, it's good to see you. You look good. And, you know, he's smiling, and my aunt and my brother were there. And then he decided, and he immediately bonded. I mean, that was his baby, and he knew it was his baby. And
yeah, but
that
he hasn't
time
seen
on,
the baby. I mean, he hasn't even seen you in what, 3-4 months?
Four and a half months. But it doesn't. But you know,
he walks in, and then all of a sudden, this is his kid. Okay, yeah, all right.
It was an adjustment for me, and I feel like I did the right thing. And I had so many people say, "Don't put his name on the birth certificate. Don't have him involved in the child's life." And he's Turkish. He's an American citizen now. He's been here for like 20-something years, but he's from Turkey, and I had so many people warning, is like, oh, he's Turkish, he's a Muslim, watch not without my daughter, and that's what he's going to steal the child away from you, and you'd be better off eating dirt than asking him to be involved or helping support you financially as you raise this child together. And I said no. I just was very firm in my convictions. I said, I'm not, if my daughter ends up with only one parent, she's going to end up with her dad, because I would never cut him off from her, unless he was doing something to her directly. But I would never cut her off from him just because I'm mad at him or despite him, or he's parenting in a different way than I am, or doing something I don't agree with, or he's doing something, you know, I could not do that. I'm just so strong in my convictions. So,
yeah, but why
is he
cutting you off? This is what I'm trying to get at. What is it?
I think it goes back to the, like I said, he wanted to raise a child. I think it's a control thing. And I think
well, that's, again, that's narcissism. That's exactly what that
well,
is.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, you can call it, it's something.
Yeah,
it's some kind of illness. But he's not, you know,
well, narcissism isn't an illness. We all are narcissistic from time to time.
We're on the spectrum. Everybody's on the spectrum.
Right.
We're all human,
and you know, we all make the same sins. Whether you're a Pope or a Walmart greeter, you make the same sins. It doesn't matter who you are. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is.
That's right.
You know,
right.
You know, human beings are human beings. But what I'm trying
right.
to get at now, after your daughter was born. Okay, you shared custody. How long
was
it?
We had a great custody order. It was fine.
But
until she was old enough to go to school.
How long was it after that he completely took custody? And what was his reasoning? What did he say in court was his reason why he – what did he blame you for is what I'm trying to get. What did he blame you for?
Okay. He didn't blame me for anything. And I've got this one video, what he said in court when the guardian ad litem asked him in our first custody trial, which it took a year. It took us like a year to get from the time he filed to stop me from homeschooling until the time he had our custody trial.
So how old was your daughter at that point?
5 and a half when it started. But then during the custody trial, she was 6 and a half. And the reason he gave in court, which I've got on video, the guardian ad litem asked him, what has changed for him to need to have primary custody. And he said, what's changed is the child has changed. A 6.5-year-old doesn't need her mother as much as a 2-year-old does.
What? I mean, the hell could that possibly be used as a freaking excuse in a court of
law?
That's
what he said. I'm telling you. I've got it on video. That's exactly what the question he – the question that was asked was, "What's changed that he
that
needs,
is,
you
know, I mean,
need
that
to change custody?"
That is just. I mean, look, you know, there's Deep Space Nine, and there's, you know, completely off the charts. That doesn't even make. I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm just bewildered how these excuses, and I've heard them all. Trust me, on this program, I've heard them all.
Well, you didn't hear that one. You didn't hear that one before now,
did
you?
I didn't hear that one. I thought I've heard them all, but no. I mean, you know, I've heard them all, but, you know, I never, ever stop hearing new ones. You think you hear them all, but you don't. I mean, this is crazy. Now, we are talking with Lydia Hubbell. Okay, well, I want to get into your organization that you got, your blog. But we do have a number of callers that are on in the queue. If you do want to speak, make sure you press the number 1, and it will let me know that you want to talk. Otherwise, you want to listen. And I do get a lot of people that just want to listen, and listening's okay. But if you're in the chat room or you're on your computer, the number is 646-716-7978. Just press the number 1 and we'll bring you on. So, Lydia, I want to find out more about, and I read part of your blog. I did an opportunity to peruse through it. I'm busy all day long. I do a million things. I'm constantly doing something. I never stop. I never slow down. Even when I sleep, I'm busy in my sleep. I'm crazy. So I get a chance to get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I promise you, I did get your song. It's a nice rendition. And I do play One Tin Soldier. I do play that on my program to close my show from periodically. I played it several times. And when you said you had that, and I think it's going to be apropos. We'll play it tonight as we close. But before we get into your organization, I'm a terrible speller. I have flunked English every time I take it. I completely murderate the entire English language every time I open my mouth. I suffer from a chronic broken left-handed tongue. I'm surprised, and I got a talk show. It doesn't make any sense, but yet here I am. But I want to ask, how do you pronounce your daughter's name?
Delara Gadare.
Delara. Thank
Delara Gadare.
Okay, yeah. I went through about 1,000 different ways, and I said, I am not going to do this on the promo. I'm not going to read her name. I'm not going to make a fool. Delara.
Delara.
I like that.
It's a Persian name, because Turkey, when we're talking about baby names, a lot of them are real, you can't pronounce them, but Delara is, if you say it with that Turkish R, you know, I can't say it. Quite like,
well, I
they
can't
do, but
say it.
They kind of like, not they kind of like roll
tongue.
The R,
are you kidding
but
me?
Yeah,
forget it.
Yeah, but just Delara. That's
I can't even
Delara,
speak English. She's asking me to speak Turkish. What are you kidding me? Come on, that ain't gonna happen.
But it is. But it is. Yeah. But and the last name, you a lot of times people say it's Geyer, but it's Gadare. So it's Delara Gadare. And yeah. So.
All right. Now let's get into this. Let's get it. Now this is Children Campaigning for Liberty and Justice in America. Now, I really like this because, you know, most of my guests that I bring on are parents that have had their children taken away either by divorce, just like you, the same thing, where they've been alienated from the other parent, and or they've been taken away by CPS. And both are just as bad for the child, because the child's going to be the one suffering. You know, and I really think it's important. And when you said this about what you started, I said, you know, I really like that, because children need a voice and they've got to speak because they're the ones suffering. And why can't they speak? Oh, well, they're a juvenile. What the hell does that mean? So they're a juvenile.
Right.
They can't speak in court. They can't speak on their own behalf. They're too stupid. They're not intelligent. Look, kids are the only honest people we have on planet Earth. Are you kidding
right.
me? Kids haven't learned how to lie yet. They're not old
right.
enough to know how to lie. So they're going to tell the truth. So I'm
and
sorry
ask
for blasting
of
off here, but right. Exactly.
No, that's good. Yeah. And but
you
the problem
know,
is,
I mean, just, you know, some things just set me off and there's nothing I can do. You know, I got to fire up and I got to go. But anyway, I'm gonna fire up my retros and crash land down back into the Atlantic. And I want to find out what is going on here with your organization. How well is it going? Have you had any response? And what is it really all about? Children Campaigning for Liberty and Justice in America. Explain that for us. I want to hear more.
Okay. Well, it's like I said, there's thousands and thousands of children who have been adversely affected
uh-huh.
by injustice and by being bound and gagged by the court system. I never thought about the court system. I was never, you know, I didn't have a custody trial when I got divorced from my ex-husband, but we both had lawyers. In this case, I couldn't afford a lawyer. I went. Not only did I go to court pro se against a lawyer, she's unethical. So she doesn't follow the rules, and she doesn't recognize the law that are put in place to protect all of us, adults and children alike.
You know how many
so,
times I've heard that? I mean, it amazes me. I mean, how do these lawyers pass the bar? It must be easy to really pass the bar. You know, I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about lawyers because good lawyers, you need good lawyers. But why
right.
are there so many bad ones? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's easy to get in, especially if you're a court-appointed attorney. You don't
right.
work for your client. You work for the courts. So they tell
right.
you what to do. You know, they're
right.
puppets. And it's too
right.
easy. You're getting a paycheck and you're doing your, you know, doing whatever it is you got to do. But that's not the purpose for an attorney.
Well, and that's not the purpose of a guardian ad litem either, because DeLara
exactly.
DeLara has a guardian ad litem who is going to court and advocating the exact 180 degrees opposite of what my daughter.
The guardian ad litem is going to
the
guardian ad litem is going to go whoever is paying her the most. That's what guardian ad litems do, especially in these cases. I can't tell you. The evidence is overwhelming. Of all the guests that I've ever had, and I've had a million of them, and it's all the same. That's what happens. Now, you're in Tennessee, right?
Right.
Okay.
Nashville.
Now, every state is different. Some guardian ad litems have to be they have to be an attorney. But some
I
states
think ours
are
do.
Different.
Yeah, I
some
think ours have to be an attorney.
So
I don't quote me on that. I believe the guardian ad litem have to be attorneys, but we also have CASAs, court-appointed special advocates, who are sort of like, I mean, they're supposed to be advocates for the child, but I had a disastrous result with CASA. Are you familiar with CASA, court-appointed special advocates?
I've heard, you know, I've had a couple of guests on my show who have talked about it. Not every state has that. Not every state has that.
Okay.
Well,
we've got them here.
Right.
We've got them here, and I think it is. I think they need to do away with it. I mean, because you know,
it's going. The taxpayers are having to pay this extra person. It's a government job that some politician. He said, "Okay, you vote for me. I'm gonna make a bunch of jobs." Well, they make government jobs. They don't make private sector jobs. They make government jobs. And every government job that is made goes against a taxpayer. So you're right. These people, they're a waste of taxpayers' money. They're not working for the child. They're working for themselves. They come in, do their little 8 hours, and they always get all these vacations, and they get their days off on Christmas and this and that and blah, 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 all their holidays and their weekends and blah, blah, blah. They're there to get a paycheck. And that's it. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm sure there are some that aren't. I'm not saying every single one isn't. I can't say
that. Well,
I can't paint a broad stroke. I can't do that.
Well,
but
well,
I think the evidence is overwhelming that most of them are really there just to draw a paycheck instead of, because nobody seems to be working for the kids. Because every single guest I've had, not one of them said that my guardian ad litem has worked for my child. Not one
those
of
kids
them.
That you, what about the kids that you have had on the shows? Have any of those? And I'm so thankful that you have actually had a child.
I've had them on, and you know, every one of them, they agreed with their parents. These were kids. One was 17, and the other one was 15. And another
older.
One,
were...
right? And another one was, I think she was like 17, you know, 18, you know, in that range. Well, you know, the smaller kids, I can understand why the parents don't want to do that because they're still in a case. And CPS does listen. Family court does listen to these shows. They know what's going on. They do listen to it, and they use it against, you know, against the parent. They use it against the child. It shouldn't be. But I do believe that the children, I don't care if they're smaller or whatever, but, you know, it's very difficult to interview a child because, there is a slippery slope, and it's very easy to manipulate a child's mind and take that child to wherever you want to go. So,
right.
You know, you get a show like this where you just give the microphone to the child. How do you, you know, what's going on in your life? You speak. Okay,
there's
but
no
it doesn't
filters.
Happen very
there's
right.
No,
there's no filters.
Yeah, there's no filters on your show. They can say whatever they want to.
They can say whatever they want. I don't put filters on anybody. I do believe in freedom of speech. I'm a huge constitutionalist. I know that makes me that makes me a racist now because I believe in the Constitution. Well, I do.
Well,
and I believe in the Bill of Rights too. You know, so I'm a double racist. You know, I'm not a racist, so shut up with that. But, you know, I just get sick and tired. I'm not going to bring in politics here tonight. But,
it is.
It's absurd. We don't need it. We don't need another civil war. It's ridiculous. We need to be bringing the country together and applauding and congratulating and celebrating our progress that we've made and fix the mistakes that we need to fix. And these mistakes that we see over here, we don't get to see this in the news. Well, your story, you're never going to see this on Fox News, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. They don't want to touch it. They don't want to touch this. Well, why?
Right. But, you know,
I mean, these are children and families being destroyed, and the damn news doesn't want to touch it. But they'll spend 24 hours, 7 days a week talking about some jackass knocking down a stupid statue. I mean, I'm sorry,
well,
but we need our priorities straight. Sorry for blasting off again. But...
Better you than me blasting off, going on a tirade. Because, I'm called mentally unstable and hostile because I speak up for the Constitution.
I haven't seen any hostility out of you. I'm the hostile one. Are you kidding?
Well, I get loud. I do get loud. But I was going to tell you, I was talking about all this controversy and stuff and the hate. They're spreading hate. Hate against, I mean, I hate you, you hate me, we're just going to hate. And I was talking to a mother yesterday. But I was talking to this mother yesterday about the CCLJA, and she has, a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. And she was asking me about, you know, what's involved. And my card says Lydia A. Hubble facilitator. And she's like, well, what's a facilitator? And I said, I help the kids have a voice and get things done that they think needs to be done. So I'm a helper. And she asked me, well, she says, well, I don't want my kids to be involved in something where you just go around bashing people. And I'm like, well, that's not what – I could do that. And some of the kids will want to do that. Like Shania, she's written some very strong letters. She wrote a very strong letter, but she's seen herself. Shania's 9 years old. She came to court for Delaria, and she didn't speak, but she came and observed, and then she wrote a letter. She's written letters about what's going on. But the mother of
now has those letters ever been? Have they been put in the record?
No, not yet. I haven't been to court since she's been writing these letters, but they're posted online. And the lawyers have seen it, and the guardian of law has seen it. In fact, you know, Shania, I mailed the one she wrote. I scanned copies, and then I sent the original. And one of Shania's, another one of the it's a friend of Shania, but I think Delara's met her at one of Shania's birthday parties, she wrote a letter directly to Delara's dad, and I never heard anything about it. But I do know that when people have been writing to Delara, she's not getting her mail, because it's like he wants to cut her off. The only person he lets have unrestricted contact is my 20-year-old daughter, and the only reason she gets to do that is because she will do anything Dad tells her to do. And he's told her, you know, don't talk on the phone with your mother when Delara's with you, because he doesn't want Delara to, you know, like, sense my presence or for Delara to know that. Because one time before he told my daughter Callie, you know, don't let Delara, you know, don't talk on the phone when Delara's with you. I couldn't talk directly to Delara, but the order of protection, there was an order of protection, so I couldn't even have indirect contact with her. But at one point when I knew that Callie and Delara were together, I called and I would ask Callie a question, and then she would ask Delara, and then I'd get the answer back, you know. So it's kind of like indirect, even though, you know, I wasn't talking directly on the phone. But yeah, she'll do everything. She'll do anything, and she's scared not to. And she doesn't want to get involved. She doesn't want to come to court or get. She doesn't want to do anything that will upset Delara's dad, because then she'll lose contact too. So it's, you know, it's anxiety. You know, who's involved? Because this is my my older daughter. She's an adult, and she's not. This is a custody battle. Doesn't directly affect
well,
her.
What
but
kind
as
of relationship
a half
do
sister,
have,
it does.
What kind of relationship do you have with your older daughter that has a relationship with your younger daughter? Well, is it a strong bond?
It's all good. Oh yeah, it's all
okay.
Good. It's all good. I support my daughter, Callie, because I've told Callie, I said, you know, just if you're the only person in Delara's old life, I want Delara to have you. I don't want her to lose you. So I am 100% supportive of her being controlled. I mean, and sometimes, you know, you got to know when is it worth taking a stand, and when is it worth giving in something. And
so when
in
was
this
the
situation,
last time that you got to see Delara?
February 25th, Delara.
Delara.
February 25th. Yes, Delara. February 25th, that was a supervised visit, and in our last custody in 2000, let's see, about 2 years ago was our the custody modification was done, which took me from having 185 days to zero.
You have your daughter here now, and this is like 7 months.
Right, but the longest I've been without any contact at all is in the middle of our first custody modification trial. He went to a different court and he lied like the devil to get an order of protection that cut me off of all contact, direct or indirect, for an entire year. So it was I went a whole year
well,
and 2 weeks with no contact.
Well, what evidence did, I mean, is it all hearsay? It's all hearsay? Because, I mean, how can the courts, I mean, cut you completely off of no, I mean, I know they do it. I know they do it. But, I mean, no evidence, just complete hearsay.
It's not just even hearsay. It's like lies and prejudicing the judge. Because when we went to this new judge, the first thing Sarah Rice Digby, who is the opposing counsel, this is the woman who has ruined my daughter's life, first thing out of her mouth is, "Your Honor, and we had to come here from juvenile court because this mother is not obeying any of the orders in juvenile court. So we need to come to you to get this woman under control." And that was a total lie.
Well,
what
orders were you not complying with?
There was none. She said I was in contempt of court. That was not true.
For what?
For complaining about the abuse. They had put a gag. That's the first thing they did to stop me from homeschooling. And I was shocked when they got away with that, because I knew what the law was, and I went and argued the law.
If you're a homeschool parent, you're a target. That's the way it is. You homeschool your child, you're a target now. It's unfortunate, But
the reason for stopping me from homeschooling was to wean my daughter away from me, because when they stopped me from homeschooling, because in our custody original agreed custody order, I had at least 185 days, and he had 180. You can't get much more of an even split than that. That was fair, and it's fair for my daughter, and she flourished. She was flourishing, but that's another reason I was surprised that they changed anything, because usually when a child's in a stable environment, you don't want to go in there and disrupt things. But money talks, and I've had lawyers in town tell me if you go to court and you don't have a lawyer and you go up against somebody who does, the judge will rubber stamp whatever the represented party asks for. And I didn't believe that, and I really didn't believe it when the lawyers were asking for things that were completely unconstitutional. And I mean, they've broken so many laws. They've broken the constitutional laws. They've broken statutory laws. They've broken lots of case law and precedents that have been set that would have protected my daughter if they had been observed. They've broken, and it's unbelievable. It's for stupid stuff like
I told you. You said your husband has, or your ex-husband,
daughter's dad.
Baby daddy.
Yeah, that's probably.
Okay, he's got some money, but does he have any family ties that have pull?
No. The only cronyism going on here is between the lawyers and the judges, because I'm not in the club, because I didn't have a lawyer. I couldn't afford one, and I went to court thinking, you know, the judges are, because they swear, the judge swears to support the Constitution of the state of Tennessee and the Constitution of the United States, and to administer justice without respect of persons to the best of their ability, so help them God. But you would think that means that we would get equal justice under law, which is what, you know, we're supposed to have. And I was shocked to find out that they don't. You know, it's you get the justice you can afford to pay for, and whoever is the best liar wins.
That's the thing. You know, you get the most justice for as amount of money that you can afford. Now, do you have?
That's not right.
No, it's not right. It's ridiculous. But do you have any family support, like a mother, father, brother, sister? Do you have any kind of family support at all, or are you pretty much on your own?
I have a lot of support from family and friends, but I don't have anybody who has the kind of money to, because this.
Well, you know what the Latter-day Saints, do you have support from the church? You should.
Yeah, I'm just Church of Christ. I'm not Church of Christ.
Oh,
Latter-day
I'm
Saints.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Church
I'm sorry.
Of Christ. It's totally different. Totally different.
I'm sorry. You're right. I screwed up.
That's okay.
My bad.
The church itself, that's the thing, is my church is very conservative, and we believe that, you know, money for the church, money that is given to the contribution to the church is supposed to do church work. But the people individually, last year, 2016, yeah, when this order, this no contact order of protection, which totally made it impossible for me to get primary custody, because the judge said, the argument was, well, okay, how can we allow the mother to keep the status of primary residential parent when she cannot even have contact with the child because of this no contact order? Because and it's all strategy. It's all strategy and abuse of the legal
system. What did they use against you to get the no contact order?
He asked for it, and he said, I'll tell you, if somebody wants to go listen to me talking about that particular, part of that, the order protection, I got like over an hour on YouTube, I've got the video, okay, this is the order protection story, but they went in there, prejudice immediately, and the order protection hearings are very short, and by the way, I do have the actual order protection hearing on YouTube for anybody to see what happened in court and what were their allegations. And it is in less than 45 minutes. And the judge wasn't concerned with taking his time and listening to both sides of the story. He even said, get on with it. I've got a courtroom full of people. And it was easier for him to just give my daughter's dad's lawyer what she was asking for than it was to give my daughter any consideration. And there was no proof whatsoever, there was not even really an allegation that I had ever harmed my child or
did your lawyer stand up? Did your lawyer stand up?
I didn't have a lawyer. I did not. That's the thing. I didn't have a lawyer. I couldn't afford one. I didn't get a lawyer till the next year when they were going to extend the order protection. And then that's when I told, I said, okay, because you can't, people have limited resources. So when I ask for money, I ask for it when I know it's going to do the most good. So last year I took up a collection to hire Connie Regulie. Has Connie Regulie ever been on your show?
I do know who she is.
Yeah, she's here in Tennessee.
I think she was on my show. She called in once before, but I know who she is. She's a lawyer. Right, she's in Tennessee.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So we retained her, and after I retained her, they renewed we had a scheduling conflict that day when they went to renew the order protection. And it would have been better for me, it probably would have been better if Connie had been there and had argued the case, but she had a previous commitment on that day at court. And I told her, I said, they've already agreed to leave Delara off this order protection, and I don't want to have any contact with her dad anyway. So I'll just take my chances, because I had already been, it was a year and 2 weeks, and I didn't want to get a continuance and be another 2 or 3 or 4 weeks out from seeing my daughter when I hadn't seen her in a year and 2 weeks. So I went to court myself to argue that, and because there shouldn't have been an order protection at all, but he did it, and he left my daughter off of the order protection. So then I had her, and then once the order protection went away, I got to exercise supervised visitation. Supervised visitation, which was ordered against the law. If anybody's interested in my case, I've got a Facebook group called Bring Delara Home, and I've got my appellant brief that I wrote when I appealed the custody order. They ordered supervised visitation completely and totally, and they did so many things against the law. And I even quoted, case law and statutes and everything. And they did so much stuff wrong. But anyway, so after the order of protection went away, I could have contact with my daughter. But I was restricted to supervised visitation for 2 months, even though I had never harmed my child or ever.
Yeah, but there's got to be a reason. You can't just say just because
you
asked for it, there has
you,
to be a reason.
No, I'm telling you. Listen, I am telling you, you do not have to have a reason. If you don't have a lawyer and you go to court, it's true. When I had a lawyer in town tell me that, if you don't have a lawyer and you go up against one who does, they will rubber stamp anything that the lawyer asks for. I didn't believe it. I was mad. I was offended that he even made such a statement, because I felt like that kind of disrespected the judge. Because a judge isn't going to rubber stamp something.
Yeah, but didn't they give a reason in court? They just said, we just simply want a protective order custody, and that's it? Okay, you got it?
Well, pretty much. And they tried to, other than hearsay, I mean, they alleged that, the sworn statement was, my daughter's dad claimed he had custody, which is not true. We had joint custody, and I was still primary residential parent at the time he asked for this. I mean, it's lies. It's lies and misrepresentations. So he said he feels harassed because I am resisting the oppression, and I'm trying to protect my daughter's rights. He doesn't want me to do that. So anything I do that gets between him and his mission, he considers harassment. So he said in a sworn statement that he had custody. He had custody, and I was constantly harassing him because I wanted more time with the child than the courts would allow. That was a total lie. And he said I was, his lawyer said I was attempting to pursue a romantic, it was stalking. The charge was stalking, the offense. The justification for the order of protection is the claim that I was stalking him. Stalking.
But it did not mean
not leaving him alone and trying to have my contact with my daughter.
So a parent wants to have contact with their child
that they have joint custody
stalking.
Of.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well,
if you've got joint custody, you've got joint custody of a child and you're under court order to make joint decision making, and you attempt to make joint decisions or communicate with the other parent, and the other parent doesn't want to communicate with you, and you don't have a lawyer, yeah. And I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but we got to stop that. Those order protections, those fraudulently obtained and abusive orders of protection are deadly. And right now I'm supposed to go to court September 21st because even though there is not an order of protection. I mean, they call it the silver bullet. Have you ever had people on talking about the silver bullet? Usually it's used against fathers. These orders of protection, it's deadly. So I don't have an order of protection against me, but I've got a temporary restraining order, and I've posted this on my Bring Delara Home Facebook group. I'm trying to put as much in front of the public as I can because court failed me.
When you had your last visit with your daughter in February.
February 25th.
I don't want to get, too personal, but I guess what I'm trying to say is how long was the visit, and did she say anything to you like, Mommy, what's going on? I'm confused. I still want to see you. Was there any of that?
My last visit, let me back up. Okay, so last summer I started getting supervised visits, and because the court order said you get supervised visits for 2 months, and if those go well, then you can get unsupervised visits, and you can ask for a change in the parenting schedule. So after I had my two months of supervised visits, and I was supposed to have unsupervised time, my daughter's dad, he didn't want me to have any contact at all because nobody can control me. And even a supervisor, because he had his own list of things I couldn't say, like if Delara wanted to talk about my house or coming to my house, he had his own, above and beyond the court order of restrictions on my speech, and some of which the Court of Appeals said were unconstitutional. And they reversed them. He had his own list of things he told the visitation supervisor to not let me talk about during my parenting time. So apparently I can't say, well, when you come home, or what else? I couldn't talk about, what is it? Stupid. It's just stupid stuff that he didn't have any right telling somebody else. I don't want her. I don't want. It's a gag order. I mean, he doesn't want anybody who's involved. He wants them on his side and against Delara's rights. He does against the mother child relationship, and it's bad enough that he wants to do that. He's sick enough emotionally that he wants to do that. But the worst thing is that the courts are enabling and rewarding this abusive behavior. And we got to stop it.
So if you send, can you send a letter to your daughter?
I can send a letter. I gave her a phone, but he would not let her have the phone. I could send her a letter, but if I sent something and he didn't like it, he would he won't give it to her. And he just we've got the last 3 days of our. We've got our new custody modification trial coming up in October. Because right now I have zero parenting days with my child, and so I'm trying to get our rights restored.
Well, is there any indication of when you'll be able to see your daughter again?
after I don't expect to see her until after the custody trial is finished in October, late October. It's probably the first time I'll see her. If I'm lucky, I'll be able to get some messages to her or pass some notes to her, but it'll be through kids at school or kids on the school bus. It won't be through my daughter.
So you have no idea right now of really what your daughter's thinking, what she's saying, what she's feeling.
No, I do know. I do know because she's telling other people, and I'm getting it. You know, she still misses me. She still loves me. She's having, in this second grade year, she was suspended 10 times, 10 out of school suspensions, second grade, for behavior problems. And I heard in January.
I was
going
to ask that next, if there was behavior problems, because
it's always the
case. It happens time after time after time after time. And both boys and girls, it's not just boys. It's not always, but it does happen quite a lot. And, you know, you've got to look at it from the child's point of view. They're confused. They've got all this going on. They don't know what is really happening. And they may not realize that they're acting out, but they are. They may be acting out for a reason. They're trying to say something. They're trying to ask for something.
She's saying she has used her words. She has used her words. She has talked to her dad. I heard her tell her dad in January on one of my supervised visits. That was the first supervised visit I had. They tried to end early, and they called the police. But I did get my – but I heard her tell her dad. She said, sometimes I'm grumpy at school because I can't sleep at night because I'm worried and I'm sad and I missed my mom.
Right.
Let me see my mom, please. And he just looked at her, and she had tears rolling down her face. And the visitation supervisor was there on the phone calling the police. I didn't tell her to say that. Everybody knows I didn't tell her to say that. When would I have the opportunity to tell her to say that?
I don't understand why they got to call the police. I mean, I don't understand why they always got to call the police for everything.
Because they like to. They don't have to. They do it so they can say they had to. So they go to court and tell the judge, we had to, you know, the supervisor had to call the police. Why?
Right.
Because my daughter's dad will do anything he can to get me out of my daughter's life. He will lie it because he's been doing it. Ugh, I get so mad. This Sarah Rice Digby Family Law, Nashville, Tennessee. I really think at this point, I used to think she was mistaken. I used to think she was redeemable. Everybody's redeemable, but I have, you know, I used to just want her license to be suspended, but I want her disbarred at this point. She is, because if she's gotten away with this, with my little girl, and she does it so easily, she's lying, cheating, and if I had a lawyer, even when I had Connie regularly go to court for me, we didn't get everything into the record, but we got enough into the record that Judge Sheila Calloway, juvenile court judge, she should have let me have unsupervised time with my daughter. But what's going on now is September 21st, my daughter's dad is trying to get a restraining order to keep me 500 feet from my daughter. Because it was an emergency restraining order. They said the judge Philip Robinson, Third Circuit Court, Davidson County, Nashville, he signed, and I put this online too on my Bring Delora Home. He signed an order that said if I don't stay 500 feet away from my daughter, it would cause my daughter immediate and irreparable harm. How?
Right.
The only irreparable harm that the court has caused.
In family court, first of all, there are no court appointed attorneys, so you got to pay for your own attorney.
If it's a termination case or something. Oh yeah, like
what you're going through.
Unless
no.
it's an abuser. Yeah, no, what I'm going through. Yeah, the only time I had a court-appointed attorney in this case was when was when I was defending myself against abuse and neglect charges, which it was for one hearing and then it went away. But I didn't tell you this. I've been arrested 6 times in the past 2 years on totally bogus charges, just trying to say, you know, because it's such total malicious abuse of process to just do what you can do and get away with it, so you can make just totally tarnish my reputation, my character, by making all these allegations. Oh, because what do you think when a mother's cut off from all contact with their child? If you were a stranger and you didn't know me, you'd think, oh, well, what did you do? You had to have done something. They don't just cut parents off from their children for no reason. What did you do?
And I said I did
nothing. Yeah. Or you got arrested 6 times? What are you doing? You know, you must be a horrible person because you've been arrested 6 times in 2 years. They don't care that all the, you know, I've got a fantastic public
defender.
Well,
what were you arrested for?
3 times for violations of the order of protection. I've got a bench trial coming up September 11th, and I'm sure.
Well, what was that violation?
It's lies.
I know, but what was the violation? I violated
the order of protection by writing my daughter's name in chalk on a sidewalk, I think, even though there's nothing in the order of protection. If you read the order of protection and you read the affidavit that I'm arrested on, it's not, and I'm posting that too. When I get copies of these affidavits and these sworn statements, I'm posting them, and I'm posting, you know, the proof. People, the public can see for themselves how bogus all this stuff is. And
where did you write your daughter's name on the sidewalk? Was it
playground,
in front of
playground sidewalk? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I did not write it on his property. I have not been to his house. I did not do it anywhere. It doesn't matter. The chalking on the sidewalk is constitutionally protected. That's considered like a public form. It's not defacement because it's temporary. I mean, it washes away with the next rain.
And
my speech, my daughter's, I should be able to write my daughter's name anywhere I want it. If it's not, you know, it's, I should be able to write her name online. These are just egregious violations.
Well, what is the relationship you have with, you said you got a good relationship with your daughter, your oldest daughter, but how about your son that just graduated high school?
Does he still live with you?
Does he still live with you, or does he live with his father?
He's staying with his dad right now, but he's fixing to go off to college. So, but I was there the whole time when they were little. I was a primary caregiver when they were little, and then his dad had a bigger and better house and cable TV and stuff I didn't have, so he's with his dad and right now, but he's gonna move out of state.
But you've got a good relationship with.
I've got a good relationship with both all my kids. It's good, and they don't like what's going on with Delora, but it's like, you know, like my son, you know, they don't have the kind of personality I've got. My son's very laid back. He is non-confrontational, and it produces Delora's dad to be mad at him. So it's fine with me because I want to protect my older kids too, as much as I can. It's just stressful for everybody. But my son he still calls Delora. Even Delora's almost 9, but he still calls her the baby. He's like, well, when am I going to see the baby? And my daughter's dad won't let. My daughter's dad won't even let my brother, because I've got a brother here in Nashville. And we were trying to get the kids all, you know, he has, in the past, he has let my oldest daughter meet, you know, bring Delora to meet with my brother and son and my dad, who's, you know, when family visits from out of town, even as late as December, or maybe February when my mom was here from Texas, he let my daughter, he let Callie is my older daughter, he let Callie bring Delara. And actually my mom was here from Texas, he met my brother and my mom at the playground with Delara, so my mom could see it, which was, I really think that was great. I love that about him, that he did that. I was surprised that he did. But for some reason, I don't know if it's a strategy on his lawyer's part or what, but a couple of weeks ago, my brother texted, or he didn't. I don't think he got a text back. I think he went through Callie, and Delara's dad said he wasn't comfortable with Todd, my brother Todd, seeing Delara. And I don't, like I said, I don't know if that's some kind of legal strategy, or it's like they could say, oh, we had to get the mother arrested, or he could say, well, we had to stop letting Delara see her family members, or we had to stop,
you were arrested, were you ever charged, formally charged with anything?
I went to I was charged with domestic assault. I had a jury trial for that. It was my public defender's first jury trial, and I was acquitted. And that was for order domestic assault. I was acquitted. My first order of protection violation.
What was the
arrest.
Domestic assault about? What was that? You physically assaulted who? Your husband?
No, I didn't. It wasn't even physical.
I just want to know what their charge is. What did they say the physical assault? The domestic assault was.
I think he said I came to his house and I was beating on all the doors and windows, screaming to let me come in. And
but that's not an assault. That's not an assault.
Fear of bodily injury. Fear of imminent bodily injury. If you scare somebody and they're in fear of imminent bodily injury, then that's considered assault. But the jury didn't buy it. The jury, the jury acquitted me of that, but I can let's. I don't know what time it is. How are we on time?
We've got about about 8 minutes.
Oh man, at a 2 hours or at a 1 hour?
No, we only got an hour and a half.
Oh, so we got 8 minutes left. Well, can you take any call? I mean, you have to have me on again. But I do
We've got callers, but if you do want to speak, just press number one, and we'll bring you on. Otherwise, it looks like we've got a lot of callers, but they just want to listen. So.
Oh, okay, well, that's fine. Well, I do want to say, I want to tell people to visit my blog. I mostly did this on Facebook, and I'm putting – if anybody wants more information, they go to my Facebook name, Lydia A. Hubble. I used to have a Facebook group that was really friends and family, people actually I knew in person. And then when all this court stuff started, I didn't want to bog down friends and family with all this court drama because it gets tiring after a while, it's because like every day. So I'm kind of like obsessed with fighting the court corruption, and I've got over 1,000 people on my Lydia. It's Lydia A. Hubble. That's the Facebook group that I use. And the Bring Delara Home, not that's my face, that's my profile. My main Facebook page is Lydia A. Hubble. That's my name. And so I want to invite people to friend me on Facebook. And my posts are all public. And my Bring Delara Home is a group. It's public. And it's all about the case. And for the people who aren't on Facebook, that's why I started the blog, and I'm trying to duplicate some of the things. But I have got so many. I didn't get into all the stuff I wanted to get into during this, but I want to tell people if you go to my www.cclja.org, if you go .com, it takes you like to some janitorial supply place. So cclja.org, if you scroll in, and I haven't quite figured out how to do this blog, but if you scroll down a little bit, you'll come to a post that's got all these ideas. And those are links to my Facebook group. My main page, because I've got all these action steps. I call them guerrilla warrior for justice weapons, And they're on that on my blog. There's I didn't realize that if you've got a face, you don't have to be on Facebook to access. I can share these albums because they're my photo albums. I've got so many tools that I'm using with the kids, and I'm getting good response. I'm getting good response from them. The children are all excited because the first thing I have to say, you know, I say, how would you feel if you were cut off from your mother and all your family and friends for a whole year, and you couldn't even write them, or because if you pick up the phone and call them, you'll get punished, and you can't write them and you can't see them. How would that make you feel? The kids get it. The kids understand what's fair. They know what's fair, and this is not fair. And my daughter knows it's not fair. It's injustice. It's injustice, and injustice makes people sick.
Well, I made a mistake.
My daughter's acting out.
We've only got about 8 minutes now before we go, but we do have a caller, and I want to bring the caller in here real quick. Before we go, and I'm going to go ahead and play your song to close. So I have no way of telling what your last name is or what your first name is. So I'm just going to read the last four digits of your phone number. When I do, you're going to be on the air. So if the last four digits are 9401, you're now on the air. Good evening. Welcome aboard. And do you have a question for Lydia?
You know damn well who this is, pal.
Christopher. The Living Man. Oh, my God.
Oh, hi.
I thought that was
he's one of my friends on Facebook. He's one of my friends on Facebook.
Of course I am, and that's why I called in, damn it. Now, right. Lydia Hubble, I have seen you, and I've 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 looked at you, and I've read your stuff, and I know what you're all about, and I'm going to tell you, I have not listened to the show. I just noticed the email in my email just now. I've been busy, boy. But, I just noticed it. And I said, oh, Lydia Hubble, I got to jump on here. So here I am. And I want to tell you, honey, oh, my God, and you certainly know this, you are not alone, my dear. And I am so sorry for everything that you're going through. And believe me, I've gone through just as much, if not more. And I understand how you feel perfectly. And I am so sorry for everything that you've gone through. I am going to investigate you a lot more. I'm going to see what I can. I'm going to see what I can do to help. And please, this is something you probably didn't know, but I make it a point to tell everyone that if you ever want to post anything on my timeline, I know an awful lot of people. I got 3,500 friends. I'm sure it'll get noticed. So if you ever...
Thank you.
And I'll make sure that you're added to my group, America's Deadly Sins, as well. And I will make sure that you are blasted out there, honey. I will get you more exposure. I don't know how much more, but I know a good portion of those people pay attention. So, yeah, let's do that.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate
and
that.
And anytime you want to go to my profile page, people pay attention to it. Go to my profile page and you can post anything your little heart desires. If you feel like you need something to blast out there, you're more than welcome to put it on my profile page as well. Okay.
Thank you. I'll do some of that tonight.
And I will definitely get on putting you in my group and so on and so forth. So you can do it there too. All right.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All
good
right.
To
no
you.
Problem. Yeah. Well, and you as well. And Captain, how you doing, buddy?
I'm ornery as ever. You know I am. I'm always ornery.
No, I had no idea.
I'm always in a bad mood.
Yeah, okay. Well, no blasting off the last minute.
I already
There's
did.
No blasting
I did,
off.
I did. I did twice already. I blasted off a couple of times. But, what am I going to do? You know, I mean,
pisses
me off in the world. You know, I got to blast off, you know?
Yes, I know. Anyway, I know you have a song to play. I know you have a song to play to close up. So I'm going to go. I just wanted to blast on real quick and see what was up and wanted to say hi to everybody. And I got to go, of course.
Well, Christopher Bruce, the Living Man, you are always welcome on this show all the time.
Thank you, sir.
Love you, brother.
Yeah,
all right,
man.
Okay.
Take care.
We are running dangerously close to being cut off here.
All right.
Now, this is a song that I guess you wrote and you sang yourself, correct, Lydia?
Right. I just wrote the words, not the music. And it's meaningful to me.
No, not the music. Not the music. This is a rewrite of 110 Social, but this is you singing, right?
And playing the ukulele, yes. Such as it is, it's from the heart. So I'm not performer,
well,
but that's...
Well, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, I want to thank you for coming on here tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much.
I want to thank those that were listening in the on their smartphones, those that were listening in the chat room. I want to thank all those that are going to be listening in archive, and we do get a lot. It happens in life. It just happens. It shouldn't, but it does. But this kind of stuff can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone at any time. It doesn't matter who you are. Okay? That's the point of the show. It can happen to anyone. And if it does happen to you, you need to understand, you've got to get your voice out. Your voice is important. If you don't use it, it's worthless. Whether you're telling the truth or you're not, you still, it's your voice. You've got to get it out. So we're going to leave here tonight. And I want to thank you, Lydia, for calling in here. We're going to leave here tonight with Lydia's rendition of 110 Soldier. And we will see you. We've got a new guest tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to hearing her story. And then we got our sports show on Friday. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And we will see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.
Listen, people, to a story very hard to understand, about how many loving families are ravaged all across our land. Who's the culprit is the question, and the answer's hard to say. It's those we've trusted to protect us, but it's the trust they have betrayed. Go ahead and hurt the children, go ahead and make them cry. Do it in the child's best interest. You can justify it if you try. The babies may forget, but the older ones know it's all a lie. You'd better have some answers ready when they come to ask you why. Seems that children in our country all have price tags on their heads. Family bonds have little value in spite of what our laws have said. The government may claim to seek what's always in the public good, but the children and the parents know they don't always do just what they should. Go ahead and hurt the children, go ahead and make them cry. Do it in the child's best interest, you can justify it if you try. The babies may forget, but the older ones have some answers ready when they come to ask you why. Go ahead and hurt the children, go ahead and make them cry. Do it in the child's best interest, you can justify it if you try. The babies may forget, but the older